Banner.
Live.
Uncensored.
Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Adams with you here tonight. And tonight, thank goodness, is the end of another week. Amen. Amen. We survived another week together. 1 hour a night. Here we are every night now. 1 hour a night. And we are managing to do well for the time being. And there are things happening, I guess, at RBN, changes, try to get some more advertisers and sponsors here so we can continue and diversify and bring you a variety of hosts. Well, that's wonderful. That's just fine and dandy with me. But tonight, once again, we are going to hear from Tom Kimmel, who, as you know, is the eldest living grandson of Admiral Kimmel from Pearl Harbor fame, or should I say shame, since today is the anniversary of the attack 66 years ago in which the Roosevelt administration had engineered the attack at Pearl Harbor. And how that happened, how that came about, what you heard last night, Tom Kimmel, on the program, explained through declassified documents and the sworn testimony and diaries of people like Mr. Stimson and Secretary of War Stimson and those who spoke from the perched ivory towers of the Roosevelt administration, admitting essentially what they were doing to create war. And lo and behold, the same thing happened in 9/11. And once again, we were told that we needed another 9/11 type or a Pearl Harbor type attack to bring us into the new world order. Well, tonight we're going to delve further into this debacle and this tragedy of Pearl Harbor. And we have on the line once again none other than Tom Kimmel, who, of course, served in the FBI for 25 years, naval intelligence, and a very distinguished career in government service. Hello, Tom.
How are you, Rick? Nice to hear from you again.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you tonight on the day. This is the day, Tom.
It sure is.
The anniversary.
66 years on the dot.
Unbelievable. Last night, you really laid some very cursory, brief, you know, cutting through the matrix, so to speak, groundwork for understanding how, once again, your granddad and husband Short were the men who were, not husband Short, but Walter Short, were the men who were unfortunately hanged on the staging, so to speak, and blamed solely for the Pearl Harbor attack. And tonight we're going to continue to present the evidence and also additional evidence that you have just had and just seen most recently as it continues to unfold, particularly, hey, your former employer, the FBI, right?
I didn't get to the good stuff last night,
right.
Rick. Hopefully I will tonight.
Yes, indeed. And if we have time, we'll take some calls, by the way. So, Tom, welcome aboard, and we intend to pursue all of the information that you can possibly squeeze into this hour tonight as well. And, ladies and gentlemen, once again, our number here is 800-313-9443, and we'll try to take a quick call or two if you have a question or a comment for Tom Kimmel. But he has a website, by the way, Tom. What is the website?
Pearl Harbor 911attacks.com.
That's right.
Pearl Harbor 911attacks with an S.com.
Very simple. Very easy to remember. And the parallel to 9/11, I like that, as you have told us many times before. So let's do this. Let's take the break now, and we'll be back, and we'll start right from the beginning of part two of the Pearl Harbor story, the story within the story on this fateful anniversary date. We'll be right back with Tom Kimmel. I'm Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
The first step in winning the war? Spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
Okay, we're back to begin now with Tom Kimmel. And Tom, I know we already have a couple of callers, probably one or two anyway, trying to get on. So we'll try to take them later in the broadcast. And I hope you'll stay on the line, callers, and wait your turn. But, Tom, just before we get back to where we left off yesterday, I wanted to clarify one thing. When your grandfather, husband Kimmel, and General Short were basically court-martialed, I believe, and punished for their misdeeds, no, they were not. In fact, the charge was never leveled at them that they would be court-martialed or committed a felonious attack on American sovereignty. No, I believe, as far as I'm as concerned, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that they were never formally charged with any dereliction or misbehavior. They were, what, censured and or, quote, blamed for what happened, but never, never charged with anything else. And then they were relieved of command, but they weren't even, demoted or discharged, as far as I know, right? Is that correct?
Well, that is correct, Rick. Actually, yeah. The way it happened is 9 days after the Pearl Harbor attack, the President of the United States selected a Supreme Court Associate Justice, Owen Roberts, to investigate.
Right.
10 days after the Pearl Harbor attack, Admiral Kimmel and General Short were fired and replaced.
Mm-hmm.
11 days after the attack, the Roberts Commission, headed by Supreme Court Associate Justice Owen Roberts, began its deliberations. They deliberated for 36 days. They investigated for 36 days. 47 days after the Pearl Harbor attack, they issued a report finding Admiral Kimmel and General Short derelict in their duty and solely responsible for the success of the Japanese attack.
Mm-hmm.
Presented that to President Roosevelt, who, of course, was delighted with that because the focus now was entirely on the Hawaiian commanders, mm-hmm. not any focus whatsoever on the Washington mm-hmm. scene, the mm-hmm. high command in Washington. President Roosevelt said, send this to the press, unredacted, no changes. It was sent around the world, and that's the way the matter stood. It stood that way for years, years, specifically until February 21st, 1944, when Captain Lawrence Safford, the head of OP-20G, the head of Naval Communications Intelligence, indeed the revered father of Naval Communications Intelligence, at great personal risk to himself and illegally went to see Admiral Kimmel in Bronxville, New York, and said, Admiral Kimmel, did you have available to you prior to the attack the same information that we had available to us in Naval Intelligence in Washington, D.C., in a program we called MAGIC?
Mm-hmm.
MAGIC was the secret decoding of Japanese diplomatic and spy communications. Very important, the spy communications. In that program, Admiral Kimmel, prior to Pearl Harbor, MAGIC gave us indications of the time of the Pearl Harbor attack, the place of the attack, the reason for the attack, and the deceit plan to cover the attack. Did you have this information? Admiral Kimmel looked at Captain Safford years after the attack and said, Captain Safford, what in the world are you talking about? What mm-hmm. is MAGIC?
Yes.
Captain Safford gave some detail. My grandfather went from a beaten, despondent, downtrodden man, perfectly capable of suicide. He turned around that very day and became a fighting tiger. He got himself an attorney,
mm-hmm.
Boston, a marvelous law firm up there, Charles Rugg's firm. He actually had one of the associate counsels up there, Ed Hanafy, write the enabling legislation, which he presented to the Naval Affairs Committee. Dewey Short was the chairman. Dewey Short was so impressed that he took it to the full Congress. The Congress, now outraged, passed a law ordering the Army and the Navy to conduct further investigations. And that's how the facts of the Pearl Harbor matter finally started to see the light of day, years after the Roberts Commission's findings that Admiral Kimmel was solely responsible for the attack.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what people don't fully appreciate is without Admiral Kimmel's efforts, we would have no real understanding of what happened to Pearl Harbor matter. There have been 10 official investigations of Pearl Harbor. 9 were conducted during Admiral Kimmel's lifetime. 7 of those were caused to happen by the direct efforts of Admiral Kimmel. And the 10th was caused to happen by Admiral Kimmel's 2 surviving sons, my dad and my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
It is a remarkable story of achievement. I could not be more proud of my grandfather for persevering.
Amen.
And allowing the American public to get some real insight as to what happened. It might be good to frame the issue as it is today. Can I be allowed to do that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Here's the issue. I'm trying to put it as succinctly as possible. Here's the issue. Should Rear Admiral Kimmel and Major General Short, the commanders at Pearl Harbor during the attack,
mm-hmm.
continue to be punitively excluded by the Navy and by the Army as the only flag and general officers otherwise qualified not to receive the benefit of the Officer Personnel Act of 1947, which is advancement to their highest held temporary ranks in World War II of Admiral and Lieutenant General, respectively?
Mm-hmm.
Bush, administration so far says, yes, they should not receive this benefit. On the other hand, the giants of World War II, Admiral Nimitz, Admiral Halsey, Admiral Spruance, Admiral Kincaid, Admiral Burke, and a host of others say, no, Kimmel should not continue to be denied this benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Kimmel should not be the only admiral otherwise qualified not to benefit from this act. Admiral Kimmel should not be the only admiral in the United States Navy officially punished for the success of the Japanese attack. Additionally, the United States Congress, the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association, the Naval Academy Alumni Association, the Admiral Nimitz Foundation, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, 6 former chiefs of naval operations, 2 former chairmen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, 1 former director of Central Intelligence, 33 four-star admirals, 7 I've already mentioned, and the official historian of naval operations in World War II say, no, Kimmel should not continue to be punitively excluded. So that is the issue, and that's the issue that the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association tried to overcome in the first instance in 1984. This continues to amaze me that the politicians do not cue in on this fact. It's
well,
not
and that's
the
because
Kimmel family that's asking for this, at least in the initial stages of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association, the greatest generation.
Yeah, supposedly.
Politicians of today continue to thumb their nose at this simple request from the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association continues to amaze me.
Well, you know, the media are really responsible for that. When they make an issue, a popular issue, then you see all the politicians dancing and jumping all over each other to get to the head of the class. You know, it's funny, just today in the local Providence Journal here, they did a story on the front page about one of the men who's still alive, who was a radio man at the time of Pearl Harbor, Pearl Harbor, and he's one of the people that survived, I suppose, and at the end of the article, to sum things up, his statement was, you know, people still wonder today whether or not they, meaning the government and the administration, knew in advance that the attack was coming. And he says, I guess we'll never know. And I just was just amazed that, again, here we go. Here's a military man himself who apparently, because of the media complicity, does not know what just about every American, every school child now, should know, I think, from their textbooks. No? What do you think, Tom?
Well, I tell you what, we don't even need to go that far, although before we're through with this broadcast, I think we will. But let me...
Yes.
This year, we have the Assistant Secretary of the Navy, William Navis, saying that he cannot find any compelling reasons to disturb the finding of past review. Therefore, he sees no reason to supplant the judgment made by Rear Admiral Kimmel's superiors.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's no reason to posthumously advance Rear Admiral Kimmel on the retired list, as the Congress has requested that the President do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we also have, immediately thereafter, this year in May of 2007, giving a perfectly compelling reason why Assistant Secretary of Navis should do exactly this. And this comes from the former director of the Office of Naval Intelligence, Admiral Tom Brooks, somebody who had a past position to certainly know what he was talking about. And he makes it abundantly clear that the head of the Army, General Marshall, the head of the Navy, Admiral Stark, the head of the War Department, now called the Army Department, Admiral Henry Stimson, the Secretary of the Navy, Frank Knox, and the Secretary of State, Cordell Hull, among others, and I want to emphasize among others because I'm going to get to that in a moment, tried to cover up their mistakes with regard to the Pearl Harbor attack and to fix the blame on the Hawaiian commanders at the time of the attack. Senior Army and Navy officials committed perjury Sworn perjury, destroyed evidence, and intimidated witnesses.
And that should be
from me.
And that should be the focus of everyone's attention, but it's not. All right, Tom, stay where you are. I'll let you continue when we return with more Uncensored Radio Free America right here on republicbroadcasting.org and a host of our stations. I'm Rick Adams.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Get back at him with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Indeed, and we are back now with our guest, Tom Kimmel. And Tom, again, you point out the fact that Congress has indeed passed the resolution, and the administration apparently is opposed to the posthumous promotion of your grandfather and Admiral Short, General Short. And beyond that, who else in the administration is diehard, seemingly diehard against this sensible and logical move? And what are the so-called reasons that they might give?
Well, as I tried to explain last night, the vice president, Dick Cheney, seemed to be very interested in counseling the Kimmel family as to how to proceed.
Right.
And indeed, he gave us some excellent instructions on how to proceed in order to make the political climate conducive to approving this advancement for Kimmel and Short. We accomplished all of the things that Vice President Cheney had recommended But when Vice President Cheney became vice president, he demurred and backed away from that very council, which, of course, was a great disappointment that a man of his august standing would do such a thing. I was, of course, particularly disturbed by it because my dad and my uncle, both now deceased, had jumped through all sorts of hoops to comply with the counsel of Vice President Cheney. And after they had accomplished everything that Vice President Cheney had recommended and a whole lot more, Vice President Cheney backed away from it. A very discouraging action on his part. But I am very interested in getting to the new material that I thought I was going to get to last night, Rick. And
well,
I'm
that's
determined
right.
to get to it tonight.
That's
so
right.
Let me proceed.
Surely.
Okay, to finish up with Admiral Tom Brooks, the former director of the Office of Naval Intelligence,
mm-hmm.
in his recent writings this year, he explains that testimony during the Pearl Harbor investigation presents a sordid picture of Washington officials covering themselves
mm-hmm.
at the expense of the two Pearl Harbor commanders.
Right.
Admiral Kimmel and General Short's seniors in Washington shared culpability and acted in a disgraceful fashion in their attempt to deflect all the blame. For this reason alone, Admiral Brooks says, a compelling case can be made to restore Kimmel and Short to their pre-war ranks. So Admiral Brooks, he's not even worried about what kind of advanced information the administration might have had. He is more worried about the disgraceful conduct of the administration after the fact as compelling reason to restore Kimmel and Short to their pre-war ranks. But let's get back to the beginning of this. He talks about the deceit mm-hmm. of Marshall Stark, Stimson, Knox, Secretary Hull, and others. And let's concentrate on the others. But as I always do when I'm making a presentation, I have to give the audience some indication of what magic is, because without that, you just cannot have an understanding of what happened. Magic, for the benefit of your audience, Rick, magic was a code word for the secret American decoding of Japanese diplomatic and spy communications, the Japanese spy communications, terribly important. Magic provided indications of the time of the Pearl Harbor attack, and of course this is all before the attack. Magic provided indications of the time of the attack, the place, the reason for the attack, and the deceit plan to cover the attack. Hawaii, of course, had no magic. No magic whatsoever. If there's any unassailable fact that the 10 Pearl Harbor inquiries established, it was that Hawaii did not have benefit of magic. On the other hand, Washington, D.C., of course, had magic, as did Manila, meaning the commander of the Asiatic Fleet, Admiral Hart, that's the United States Asiatic Fleet, and the commander of the Army in the Philippines, General Douglas MacArthur. He had benefit of magic, and the British had benefit of magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Admiral Kimmel and General Short in Hawaii did not have benefit of this priceless intelligence information. Okay, now for the new information, which I tried to get in yesterday, but it's just as good that I have the time to do it tonight. At least I hope I do.
Well, we'll have a break coming up shortly, but after that we have a lot of free time, and we'll even squeeze in some calls for you.
All right, well, let's start with this. 4 days, Rick, 4 days, and I only found this out within the last month or so,
mm-hmm.
4 days after the Pearl Harbor attack, an assistant director of the FBI, mm-hmm. Mickey Ladd, wrote a memorandum for the director of the FBI,
yes.
J. Edgar Hoover.
Right.
And I have this memorandum in front of me, which was released, made public in 1979 under a Freedom of Information Act matter, but I only saw this thing recently.
And I'm looking at it now, courtesy of you.
Well, curiously, there's a caveat at the bottom says that this is an informative memorandum not to be sent to the file section.
Yeah.
In other words, this memorandum is so hot, we're not going to file the thing.
Right. And J. Edgar Hoover's letter to the secretary to the president is most interesting to that effect. We'll be back. Tom, you can continue and explain the rest of this when we return with more of the Pearl Harbor story, the story within the story, with my guest, Tom Kimmel. I'm Rick Adams.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for this sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Back now, and just a word. Have you been wanting solar power at your home? Well, finally, there is an affordable solar. Take back your power, produce your own energy, and keep the savings. No rate increases, no equipment to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries as well. Visit www.join-the-solution.com or call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. We're speaking with our guest, Tom Kimmel. And by the way, Tom, you, of course, served in the FBI for 25 years in a distinguished career there. And now we have this report on your former boss there, J. Edgar Hoover. I guess he had come and gone by the time you stepped aboard, I guess, huh?
That's a fact. I left the Navy in 1971, went to law school, actually to get into the FBI.
Right.
Was lucky enough to get in, got in 1973.
Right.
Mr. Hoover deceased in 1972.
Right.
I started my career in 1973. I served for 25 years. Absolutely loved it. Loved it to the point I retired in 1998 and went back at their request, at the FBI's request, went back for a year and a half, which I was delighted to do, on a couple of projects that they had me working on, and retired for a second time in 2000. Truth of the matter is, Rick, I'd go back tomorrow if they'd asked me to. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
One okay, thing, back to the matter at hand.
Right. One thing that wasn't very pleasant is looking back on Mr. Hoover's apparent role in the FDR administration and this letter that you're referring to.
Well, he had a lot of pressures on him, and this was certainly one of them. But the curiosity to me is that this didn't make the light of day until 1979.
Wow.
We're talking 7 years after Mr. Hoover deceased. Admiral Kimmel deceased in 1968. He had no idea that this material was available, although he had plenty of ideas that Mr. Hoover was doing his best to get the focus off of him and put the focus on my grandfather, Admiral Kimmel. This becomes more and more apparent. And, of course, the reasons for it are obvious. The analogy would be 9/11. With 9/11, nobody was blaming anybody in the military, you might recall.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they really haven't blamed anybody officially. But if anyone was to be blamed, if the focus was on anyone, and I will use Mayor Koch, he famously said that if we were to blame anyone, clearly the two people most
blamable,
really, thank you, most blamable would be the head of the FBI, Louis Freeh, and the head of Central Intelligence, George Tenet. He made that abundantly clear. Well, the question is, how in the world did the head of the FBI escape so completely the scrutiny of these 10 investigations? You know, the head of the FBI never had to testify at any of these investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the FBI was primarily tasked by President Roosevelt, specifically going back to 1939, with the primary responsibility for counterintelligence. Well, how else are you going to find out what the enemy is doing other than through counterintelligence efforts?
Mm-hmm.
Find out what the spies are doing. And, of course, we did not do that, or at least publicly we did not do that,
uh-huh.
in spite of the fact that magic gave us the greatest intelligence we have ever had in the history of the Republic. But let me get back to the matter at hand, or I'm going to go through this whole time schedule and not get to it again, and that can't happen this time, Rich.
Right. We have callers, too. Sure. Go ahead.
Here we are. 4 days after the Pearl Harbor attack, a secret source comes into the FBI and lays out that if anybody finds out that I am coming to you, FBI, and telling you this material, I will be fired. That's laid out in a memorandum, which I have in front of me, from the assistant director, Mickey Ladd, to J. Edgar Hoover. This is the memo that's not to be sent to the files section. It's so hot, it's not to be filed.
Mm-hmm.
It's dated December 11th, 1941. I would be delighted to send this to any of your listeners. If they send me an email, I'll send it to them.
Sure.
At any rate, this information is new to me and, again, was not in the public domain until 1979. The memo says, complete plans for the attack on Pearl Harbor were intercepted by Washington, D.C. Army Intelligence, G2, 10 days before the attack and sent to Admiral Kimmel and General Short. And on December 5th, the signal for the attack, which meant that the attack was going to take place on Saturday and Sunday, that also was intercepted by Army G2, that's Army Intelligence, in Washington, D.C., and sent back to the Hawaiian commanders. Now, the identity of the individual, the secret FBI source, is secret to this day. It still has not been revealed, and the memorandum that I have in front of me is has the identity of that individual redacted out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is December 11, 1941.
Yep.
Well, what did Mr. Hoover do with this sensational information? Keep in mind, Rick, that if this information is true, it's the most relevant, pertinent, material fact of all of the Pearl Harbor investigations. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the holy grail of the Pearl Harbor investigations.
Absolutely.
If it's true. So what did Mr. Hoover do with it?
That's the question.
Obviously, he was very excited about this because he immediately turned around, put it in a memo, hiding the identity of the source, and sent it to the President of the United States. So the next day, and I have another memo demonstrating that it was sent to the President of the United States through the President's press secretary, Stephen Early, in which Mr. Hoover reported to the President that the Army and the Navy in Hawaii had been sent 10 days prior to the attack the entire plan and timing of the Japanese attack by intelligence colleagues in Washington, D.C. What could be more startling information for the President of the United States than that? Of course, it would be simple as pie for the President to find this out. All he'd have to do is call General Marshall on the carpet and Admiral Stark on the carpet and say, "What's going on here, boys? Look what I just got from my director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation." Well, Mr. Hoover's not finished yet. Of course, as I've already told you, 9 days after the Pearl Harbor attack, the President found a sitting Supreme Court Associate Justice Owen Roberts to head the attack. That was, and then 10 days after the attack, Admiral Kimmel, General Short are fired and replaced. 11 days after the attack, 11 days after the attack, we're now talking December 18th, that would be 11 days after the attack, Owen Roberts begins his investigation. Well, not coincidentally, I find out recently, another memorandum goes from J. Edgar Hoover to the Honorable Owen Roberts that very day, December 18th, 1941, 11 days after the attack. Again, this is not declassified until 1979, in which Mr. Hoover tells Owen Roberts, Judge Roberts, that it has been reliably reported. That's the way he starts it off. Now we know, apparently, the FBI has checked out this information, terms it reliable, and gives Owen Roberts the same business, that about 10 days before the attack, Washington deciphered messages that contained the complete plans for the attack and sent them to Hawaii, or at least allegedly sent them to Hawaii, including code words to indicate the time of the attack. These code words were intercepted on December 5th, December 5th, and also sent to the Hawaiian commanders. Now, to be fair to Mr. Hoover tells the sitting Supreme Court Associate Justice, as a suggested investigative lead, you should find out if this information actually was sent to the Hawaiian commanders, was sent to Hawaii, or if it was merely held in Washington, D.C., and not properly sent. Okay? All right. Now, this information remains secret, completely secret, until the Joint Congressional Committee investigation. Now, before I tell you the results of the investigation, the Joint Congressional Committee investigation, which takes place 4 and 5 years later, 1945 and 46,
yes,
we have this anomaly immediately after the Pearl Harbor attack. The Secretary of the Navy, Frank Knox, goes out to Hawaii immediately after the attack, trying to find out what was going on, and he asks Admiral Kimmel, "Admiral Kimmel, did you get my message that I sent Saturday night before the attack?" And, of course, Admiral Kimmel says, "You know, what are you talking about? No, I didn't get any such message." Knox, completely perplexed, asks several other of the admirals out there, several of the authorities out there, "Did you get the message?" Nobody knew what in the world he was talking about. Nobody got the message. And here's the similar situation with the Army. The Chief of Staff of the Army in Hawaii, General Short's Chief of Staff, was a colonel by the name of Phillips, Walter Phillips. Phillips, during the attack, picks up the telephone and calls General Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Reports to him what's going on. "Hey, the bomb's going off all over the place." Marshall interrupts him and says, Colonel, did you get my message I sent you Saturday night? Colonel Phillips says, no, what are you talking about? What message? And Marshall says, a radio I sent you last night. You can find this transcript in the Joint Congressional Committee report. I can give you a citation on it.
Yeah.
I give you that to tell you this as a lead for what happened at the Joint Congressional Committee. This is now 4 and 5 years after Roberts gets this investigative suggestion from J. Edgar Hoover. Senator Ferguson, who was, of course, a Republican, he was out to do what he could to make President Roosevelt look bad.
Mm-hmm.
In all fairness, you have to say that. But he gets Justice Roberts as a witness. So now we have the senator who is interrogating a sitting Supreme Court Associate Justice. Now, this doesn't happen very often in the history of the Republic.
No, very seldom, if ever.
So Chairman Roberts is sitting there after being sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Ferguson starts to cross-examine him. And Ferguson starts reading from the Roberts report. And he is reading what Roberts used to interrogate the head of Army intelligence in Hawaii. In Hawaii. This is very important. And he quotes and virtually says the same thing that came out of the Hoover report to Roberts. He says, it has been reported to me that about 10 days before the attack, a code was intercepted which could not be broken. But it was forwarded to Washington, to the War Department, to be broken. The War Department found out it could be broken. They did break it. They found it contained three important signal words which would direct the attack on Pearl Harbor, and that the War Department subsequently intercepted over the radio those three signal words and forwarded them to the military authorities in Hawaii as an indication that the code had been followed and that the attack was planned.
Mm-hmm.
What Chairman Roberts is using to interrogate the head of Army intelligence in Hawaii, mm-hmm. Colonel Fielder. And Fielder says, what are you talking about? I don't know anything about this. Roberts says, you had no communications from the War Department as of December 5th forwarding to you the meaning of the three code words, which would be the signal for the attack? Fielder says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Roberts goes one step further, and he gets Fiedler's assistant. So this is the assistant head of intelligence in Hawaii. That's what's important. All this is taking place in Hawaii.
Right, exactly.
Gives him the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Says to Bicknell, this is Lieutenant Colonel Bicknell, the assistant head of intelligence for General Short in Hawaii. And he's trying to get Bicknell to say, yeah, he got all this great information from Washington, D.C. Roberts says, I refer to the fact that some 10 days before December, it is supposed that a Japanese code message broken down in Washington gave certain keywords which would be flashed over the radio directing the attack on Pearl Harbor. And Roberts says, I never heard of such a thing. What in the world are you talking about? Roberts says, you never heard of this? Robert tries to establish it again. Bicknell says, I have no idea what you're talking about. And guess what? Roberts drops the matter.
You bet he does.
Further questions. No further questions.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now we have, years later, Ferguson trying to figure out, where did you get this information, Justice Roberts? Where did you get this stuff?
Yeah, yeah, where?
And Roberts says, it was a rumor. It was a rumor. Somebody gave it to me. I don't know who gave it to me.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Interrogation of Ferguson, of Roberts. Yeah. Roberts continues to say he doesn't know where he got it other than it was a rumor. Well, it's perfectly obvious to me as a 25-year FBI investigator that Roberts is lying through his teeth. Of course he knows where he got the information. He got it from the director of the FBI directly in a letter signed by the director of the FBI with this bombshell information.
Wow.
There's no information that Roberts had through in the course of his investigation. There's no information contained in any of the 10 Pearl Harbor investigations which would be any more compelling, any more relevant pertinent or material to the FBI investigation than what J. Edgar Hoover gave him on December 18, 1941. Right. And years later, he is telling, he, Judge Roberts, is telling Senator Ferguson that he, Roberts, doesn't know where he got this information. It is an outrageous lie.
It is, and all of them, you know, are guilty of it, and just said, you know, lying under oath. You know what? We're running short on time, and we have a few callers. Can we see if we can squeeze a few in? Because
yeah,
I know
sorry.
We didn't have time last night.
I'm glad I did.
But let me do this. Let me give you the time now before the break. And when we come back, we'll have time to take maybe two or three calls, a minute each. But let me have you give our listeners now the way that they can get in touch with you if they don't have the Internet, particularly if they do have access to the Internet. They can obviously navigate to your website. Tell us now, Tom, the best ways to reach you.
Well, of course, if you go to my website, you'll get my email address. A couple of them listed there. The website is PearlHarbor911attacks.com. PearlHarbor911attacks.com. If you want to send me an email direct, it's tkimmel@cflforcentralflorida.rrforroadrunner.com. And I'll be glad to answer.
Excellent. All right. Take a quick break. We'll come right back and we'll take some calls for Tom Kimmel. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Be right back.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, we're back now, and not much time. Let's take some calls here for Mr. Kimmel, and keep it brief, and we'll start with Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan.
Yes, sir. Well, it's a joy to talk to someone so powerful in part of history. Sir, my question is about Admiral Forrestal, who supposedly committed suicide, of course, when he was investigating the communists taking over our country and the government. And do you have any information as far as, did you think he committed suicide? And if he didn't, well, what do you think? Who knocked him off?
Well, Dan, I thank you for your call. It's a great question. I wish I could give you a terrific answer for it. It does relate directly to Pearl Harbor. Of course, Forrestal was the one who put a negative endorsement on the Naval Court of Inquiry and said in that endorsement, mm-hmm. One of the reasons why Kimmel should continue to be held accountable in the disgraceful fashion that he was held accountable was that the Navy Department in Washington, D.C., actually had a report that the British were capable of launching shallow torpedoes from the air in 42 feet of water. This was a huge issue in the Pearl Harbor matter because that just happened to be the maximum depth of the channel in Pearl Harbor. And, of course, the vast majority of damage in Pearl Harbor was caused by these airdrop shallow-running torpedoes. The prevailing wisdom at the time was nobody in the world had that capability. And yet in the Navy Department, there was a report saying that the British had that capability. Admiral Kimmel, of course, had no idea that the British had developed this ability, nor did he have any idea that the United States government, the Navy Department, knew about this. The first he heard about it was through Forrestal's endorsement in 1945.
Wow.
So he wrote to Secretary Forrestal and said, "Mr. Secretary, if you have such a report, that's news to us. We didn't have it out in Hawaii, and would you please send this report to me so that I can defend myself?" And, of course, Secretary Forrestal never said a word. Now, in 1949, at Bethesda Naval Hospital, Mr. Forrestal was committed because he had a nervous breakdown. The reason for it, I don't know. He's overworked, I guess. But the next thing we know, Secretary Forrestal is found. I think he was on the 16th floor.
Yeah, he was found on the ground, Naval Hospital.
I guess he was found on the ground, and it was never clear if it was by accident or design that he met his demise at time.
All right, we have to move along. Thank you, Dan. Byron in Canada. Hello, you're on with Tom Kimmel.
Hi. Hey, do you have a book on this thing? Because, boy, I'm having trouble following everything on this thing.
It is very involved.
Yeah.
Have a book, Tom.
So are you saying that the British fired those torpedoes at the American ships? Is that what you're saying, or no?
No, not saying that at all. I'm saying the British had developed the technology to airdrop torpedoes in shallow water. We did not know they had that capability. I say we didn't know it in Hawaii, but they did know it when they did know it in Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, our naval attaché, Admiral Lockwood, in London, filed a report 6 months prior to Pearl Harbor explaining to the Navy Department in Washington, D.C., the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Stark, that the British had developed this remarkable capability of dropping a torpedo from an airplane, and it would enable and be effective in 24 feet of water. That report was that report remained classified in the Navy Department files until 1998, when it was accidentally discovered by Professor Michael Gannon of the University of Florida, who wrote a marvelous book laying all this information out. It came out in 2000. It's called Pearl Harbor Betrayed. I highly recommend the book.
Okay, hey, we have to move along. Gene Smith, our last caller here for Tom Kimmel.
Yes, did your grandfather, Admiral Kimmel, ever find out any truth about Pearl Harbor as you know it or as we know it today about the cover-up and conspiracy?
Yes, he did.
The vast majority of the information we know about Pearl Harbor is directly as a result of the efforts of Admiral Kimmel, without question.
Hey, thank you, Gene. We're out of time, unfortunately. I wish we had more time. But you know what, Tom? We don't have to wait another year to get you back, you know. You come back anytime you want and pursue this with us, all right?
That sounds good to me.
Let's do it pretty soon. Okay, thank you, Tom Kimmel. And next week we'll have your address up here and we'll give it out for people that want to communicate with you again, okay? Thank you, Tom, and God bless you and your efforts.
Thanks, Rick.
Good night now. All right, well, that's it. The Pearl Harbor story. Fascinating week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your help and your calls and your support for RBN. We'll be back, Lord willing, Monday night at 10 Central. Rick Adams, good night. God bless. With